This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins and you can find me at Conquest3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my good friend Peter at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. Today is the 19th of May. It is now 6:32 in the UK. And this is Twin Peaks Investing Podcast number 49. We've had some phenomenal feedback regarding 48, and we'll speak about that a bit later on. But first of all, I want to check in with my good friend Pete. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right. You know, I've had these sort of ongoing health issues for sort of 6 months or so. It looks like we might actually have worked out what is actually wrong with me, and it seems to be an excess of acid in my stomach, like a buildup of stomach acid, and it's been burning my stomach wall. And frankly, I think it's down to absolutely crap diet and the fact I eat junk all the time. And I blame lockdown, right? It's a consequence of lockdown because I've been eating chocolates, cakes, crisps, salted peanuts by the handful. And So I've had to radically change my diet, and it's an absolute flipping nightmare. And it's like no tea or coffee because you can't have caffeine. And it's like, well, basically nothing nice, basically. So you're just eating like leaves, and you're eating like things that swim in the sea, yeah? Yeah. Oh my God, it's grim. But there was a little chink of light yesterday because I managed to get a Sainsbury's, and do you know what? If you want to eat healthily, it's actually not that hard. And I'm sort of pleased that I've been forced to do it in a way, you know? Because it won't mean I can't ever eat anything nice again. I can still have a curry and that, but I'm just going to have to be a lot more sensible and a lot more better behaved. And it's like I went to a Sainsbury's and I got things like decaffeinated tea, decaffeinated coffee. I bought some ginger and lemon infusion, which I've actually got beside me now. Bought some peppermint tea, you know. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I got an MRI scan tomorrow in Stoke Mandeville Hospital.
Oh, that's cool.
Thursday.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really just the purpose of that now really is just to check that there's nothing wrong elsewhere that's causing the buildup of acid. But I think in all honesty, it's totally down to the fact that you cackle day long.
We've had this conversation, Pete, now on and off, and I've been speaking to you on the phone almost every other day, it feels like, of late, but it's been going on since about August, September time, and we've spoken about, you know, diets and food and alcohol, and I've been on the same page as you, mate. I've been eating rubbish, you know, I've been drinking excessively, and I'm actually looking forward to drinking more when we've got these freedoms that we've got going forward. I've already started the policy of Friday afternoon, I'm out, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock, I'm gone. And I'm already with the boss, heading out of the door and picking up the minibus and sitting and chilling out and having a beer and having a meal out every Friday. That's what we're doing now.
You mean when the minibus lets you?
When the minibus lets me, if she hasn't got other things on her schedule. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but I think that's the beauty of it, mate. We've got to look after ourselves. And I think like you say, it's a bit of indiscipline on all our parts. You know, with regards to lockdown and, you know, allowing us a bit more free time and not having to travel as much. So we've indulged ourselves more because we've got more free time. But hopefully, you know, coming out of lockdown, we'll be a bit more disciplined, each and every one of us.
I think, and it's got a real thing that's related to investing and trading. You know, investing and trading, and I think even more trading, is all about calm mindset, healthy body, being fit, whatever. And, you know, if you're tired and if you're eating crap, then, you know, you're not going to be feeling at your best. You're not going to make good decisions. You're not going to make calm decisions. You're going to be a panicker because you've been eating chocolate all day and caffeine and peanuts and crisps. And, you know, so I guess a lot of our listeners are, I try to phrase this. You know, they're not that many are in the flush of youth. Let's just say that. Yeah.
How very dare you, Pete?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm 36, but even at 36, you know, you've got to think about what you eat as you get older, and it is even more important as you age. You know.
Pete, you can't stay 36 for 20 odd years, mate. Let's just hold up and say we're both over 50s. Yeah, we're both in our 50s, and we're doing all right. Thank you very much.
Look, I'm 36, and I was born in 1965. Do the maths.
Yeah. So yeah, so we're gonna get to the point where we look after ourselves a bit more. But Pete, let's get onto the markets, and I'm pleased you got the appointment tomorrow, and I'm pleased that you're gonna get some stuff dealt with. And I'm pleased also that the horse tablets that you've been taking for the past week since we started talking about the new regime are working. And if you can stay disciplined,
to mention that.
I know the horse tablets, mate, and that's why you keep saying
nay, lad.
So,
thanks to everybody who's given me messages and stuff about, you know, my health and that. Thank you, I really appreciate it. It's great.
Yeah, we've got some lovely people that are out there, Pete, and they've been asking me via DMs.
We have the occasional fool, but let's not talk about that.
Pete, as with all things, mate, you know, some people like Marmite and some people don't, mate, you know? And what we try to do for the greater good of the many, and there's always going to be a few. So what can we do about that? I practice neuro-linguistic programming, mate, NLP. Yeah, I practice mindfulness, and I will give out love. I get the occasional person that comes out with hate. What do I replace that with? With more love. Yeah?
Drives them mad.
Let them do what they want to do. I can't control their behavior, Pete. You can't control their behavior. All I can do is control my own behavior. And that's what I would ask everyone else to do. You know, sure. We've spoken on here before about other people that I've coached, mentored, supported on Twitter. There's lots of people being abusive. There's lots of people being negative. And I always take them aside and try and help them and support them and all the rest of it. And then some people will say, thank you, Pete. And other people come back and be more abusive towards me. I don't really care. I'm going to be me. I can't control them. I wouldn't want to control them. So all I would say to other people that are out there, if you're facing anybody that's being bullyish or anyone that's being rude or anyone that's being obnoxious, replace their hate with love and build the foundations of what you're going for and what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve with love. And then all you can do is be happy for yourself. Always seek your own happiness, not from other people, but from within.
Absolutely. Bang on, mate. These markets, then, I mean, it's got a bit rocky, dude.
It is, but the reason why we're having this rockiness, Pete, always, and we said this 2 weeks ago, we said watch out and be mindful of everything. We talked about Dogecoin or Dodgy Coin, or, you know, all the other names that we use for it, and Bitcoin and all the rest of it. But the markets in general, Pete, we're being impacted by what's going on in the US, and we're being impacted by the talk about, are interest rates going up? Will they be going up? Will they be rising? What's the situation with inflation? Is inflation going to be rising going forward? Yeah. What's happening with regards to corporate rates in America? If they start raising the corporate rate, which companies have to pay regarding their profitability going forward, that's going to impact the tech stocks and the value stocks, the growth and value stocks. So that's what's happened the last couple of days to the US markets. And the US markets have really, really been moving around. I wrote some stats down just before we started. And these will be different from when people see them, because it's about an hour ago I wrote these stats down. But at the time, earlier on today, the Dow Jones was sitting down 290 points, 0.85% down. And it was sitting at the time at 33,764. This is from a high, year-to-date high, 52-week high, I think with the Dow Jones, I'm not sure if it's all-time high, I forgot to check that.
It was.
35,091 is an all-time high, and it's currently sitting at 33,764 when I last checked. And that, actually, Pete, still, despite the volatility, and bear in mind we're only 19th of May here, it's year-to-date, it's up 10.3%, which is really, really good for, you know, 500, you know, Dow Jones index. And then you've got the S&P 500 that was sitting at the time earlier at 4,097.46. And that was down 0.74%. That's from a high, again, I think it was an all-time high, 4,238. Year-to-date, that was up 9.09%. Then you've got the heavy-weighted tech index, NASDAQ, which we know has been causing all the volatility because of the shift from growth to value and the rotation that we've been speaking about. It seems like we've been speaking about that for a couple of months now, Pete, really. That was sitting at 13,226 minus 48 points, down 0.59%. Year to date, this is a big difference, Pete, from Tech Heavy. NASDAQ was up year to date 2.62. You compare that to 10.32 for the Dow Jones and 9.09 for the S&P. That's what's going on, and that's what's causing the fluctuation. So all that tech heavy stuff is impacting our market. We finished up today down 1.2% at 6,950. We've been going up and below, up and above and below the 7,000. Today, we actually fell quite sharply this morning. We went down as low as 6,897, Pete. Yeah. And that's from the previous close of 7,034. Yeah. So we closed at 6,950 today, at down 1.2%. Yeah. I've been tracking the FTSE, but what I've been using, and this might be an indicator for people to use going forward as well, if they don't want to use moving averages or exponential averages, is to track the FTSE All Share. That encompasses all the blue chips and all the smaller stocks as well, all the way through. And I've been looking at it ebbing and flowing above 4,000. Yeah, it closed today at 3,966, and that's the FTSE All Share Index value. Yeah, 4,000. I've been tracking that up and down and seeing where it goes. If we go through 3,900, I think that might be the start of another little downward decline. And historically, we've got to remember, you know, this viewpoint of everybody else, but also historically, May has technically been a weak month. A negative month. So this selling May and go away people that's been talking about that for years. You know, we spoke about that at the beginning of the month as well in the previous podcast. But June and July, we tend to have the markets rebound again, because people are doing their end of year this and that and blah 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 in May, or have done that in April. That takes a bit of heat out of the market going into May. But June, July, we tend to get a rebound. So for those that are thinking about what to do with the markets, you have to do your own research. You have to do your assessment of your own particular stocks. If you've bought really tiny, highly volatile stocks, then if the markets are getting spanked, they're going to get spanked even harder. So think about what you've got in your portfolio and assess your portfolio accordingly, and look at what's in the stocks. What's moving the most? Yeah?
Oh, so true. Mate, you mentioned June. Funnily enough, I was looking at the seasonal trend sort of thing, and I'm pretty sure I sent a picture of this that I took from Investors Chronicle this week. I sent it out on Twitter. And it's actually June tends to be worse than May, which is quite surprising.
Is that the UK or globally, Pete? UK,
that's
US?
UK, FTSE 100. The other thing I picked up, which has really surprised me, is that apparently, and you know, people have to look into this, whatever they want to do, or it's just an anecdote to sort of bear in mind, the FTSE All Share has actually outperformed the global index. Is it like the MSCI Global Index?
Yes, yeah.
It's outperformed it this year, which is actually quite surprising. The FTSE 250 has done really well. The FTSE 100 has sort of perked up. So maybe that explains partly why it is, but it is a bit surprising, I thought.
I mean, put that in context, Pete. Yeah, we spoke about the NASDAQ being down and drifting from its highs, and currently year to date it's up 2.62%.
Yeah.
To quantify that, year to date, the FTSE 100 is up, given where the lows it was at as well, accordingly. Year to date, that's up 7.58%. So we're actually outperforming, you know, the NASDAQ and all the tech laden stocks. So that's not bad going for our boring, hardly any tech stocks in our, you know, FTSE 100 sort of platform, really. I think that's not too bad at all. The miners have been helping us. We spoke about miners last week. We won't go over that again. But we've done all right so far. Long may it continue. But we need to hold on to 7,000.
I remember where I picked that up, and it was this afternoon. I was reading John Barron's column in Investors Chronicle, and he does investment trusts, yeah. But he's been making the point for ages, and you've got to bear in mind there's a slight bit of bias here because he's a Tory MP, Andy's a Brexiteer, yeah? But he reckons that the UK economy is going to do really well. And he thinks that UK stocks are massively undervalued compared to the rest of the world. I'm not sure whether I buy that. I'm not sure if I even care. But the point is, there could be some, you know, it could be good news in UK stocks for some years to come, which would be lovely.
Pete, I agree with him that the UK stocks are undervalued, and they have been for some time. I caveat that, though, with the fact that if the US markets capitulate, you know, if the Dow Jones and the S&P joins the NASDAQ and ends up going down and only sitting there at plus 2%, doesn't matter what the reopening of the UK is going to be like or how undervalued we are, we will go back down with them.
Yeah, I think we're talking longer term.
I'm just trying to get
the next 5 years or something.
I'm getting people to look at what's happening with the markets now, because we're going to have more and more volatility for the next, I think, for the next couple of months, because we're going to get more talk about interest rates, corporate taxes, and inflation going into costs. We talked about it last week, Pete, and what's going to be happening, especially in the US, is happening now. It's going to happen more so towards us in the summer. The busiest time for house builders, to build is when in the summer months. So we've already had relatively good March, April. We're now in May. Really good. The house builders are out there. They're all building. What's happening, though, and you can speak to anybody, all the input costs, so the bricks, all of the other bits and pieces. But the most importantly, Pete, the timber, they call it lumber, don't they, in the US?
Yeah.
That cost has gone up incrementally. I don't know what percentage. It's gone up staggeringly.
Oh, hugely.
More.
Yeah.
So all these builders now are struggling in the US, and they're actually slowing down their build because they can't get hold of the amount of timber, lumber that they need. Or they're thinking, actually, we don't want to buy it for that price. We want to wait and see if it comes down. But it's not cooling down, Pete.
No. So it's interesting. I've seen that, because every morning I read a lot of RNSs and stuff, the news things that companies put out. And I noticed it was several this morning. One I remember is SafeStyle, SFE.
Yep.
That one was actually, a flipping good trading update. But it did say, there are issues around cost inflation. And there was another one, but I can't think what it was. There was another stock that said, we've been, it was DIA, Dialight,
Right, okay, yeah.
Dialight, who do LED lighting and stuff. Again, I mean, I actually think Dialight is quite an interesting recovery play. It has potential, I think. But it said, their debt has increased because they've been building inventory to try and get stock cheap, get inventory cheap, inputs, before the prices rise, sort of thing. That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of different companies do it in different ways, Pete. I mean, they do a lot of hoarding. They see the price is quite good at a particular sort of part of the supply chain,
so they buy
as they possibly can. And then, they're sitting rosy, or they buy it ahead and then, get it later. But yeah, that's definitely going to impact some stock. I touched on it last week. I think, people have to watch, have a look at the individual companies that they hold currently, and have a look at the supply chain and what things could bite them. Yes, they might hit the revenue numbers that they said they're going to have, or be ahead. But if that ahead number is then impacted or impinged by the input costs, the revenues could be going up 10%, but the input costs could have gone up 10% and it's neutralized it, or even more so, gone up 15%, and they actually missed their actually profitability going forward. So that's something people need to look out for and not just think, oh, this company's opening this factory and that factory, therefore they must be going gangbusters. Watch out.
There's another input that SafeStyle mentioned in their update. They said they're struggling to get installers. So, that is getting humans who have got the ability, who are trained or whatever, to install PVC double glazing windows. That's what they do. And, so that, again, that's a problem that we're going to see. And it's like with Brexit, chances are it's going to get harder for companies to recruit cheap labour. So they're probably going to have to pay more for these people. So it might actually drive wages up, which many would say is actually quite a good thing, certainly at the bottom end of things.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to have the same problem with getting people to actually go out on the farms and pick fruit and pick vegetables and the rest of it.
Because
they haven't been able to get them for the last 2 years. And, post-Brexit, I think it's probably got worse. I'm not sure what we're going to see, but I'm sure you're going to notice that next time you go, well, over the next couple of months when you go into Sainsbury's, Pete, the cost of stuff's going up,
Oh,
slowly but surely.
it definitely will. Mate, on the indexes, you're talking about what's happening now. Well, if people have watched what I've been tweeting out and stuff and looked at my website, I actually put a small, it's flipping tiny, it's 6% of my long portfolio. I put a small short on the Nasdaq 100 last night. And I put a, well, I've already got running, I've had it running about a week, a short on the FTSE 100, but that's quite small, about 10%. So I'm about 15, 16% hedged now. I might hedge more, and I'm looking probably to take it to 25, 30% of my total portfolio value. But I've sort of learned that being too greedy and trying to hedge too much is a silly thing. You're better off having smaller position at the start, building that position, and then if you get stopped out, the damage is very slight. But looking at the indexes now, as we speak, I'm just looking quickly on my app, and the Nasdaq has done something really interesting because it did an up candlestick 4 days ago. Then it did what's known as an inside day. So it's like a little tiny candle, which is what you call a doji, which followed the next day. So it's probably the big up candle on Friday. It would have been the little doji on Monday. And then it did a fairly sizable down candle yesterday, which also happened to be a bearish engulfing candle. And then today, it's actually going up. But there's a bit of a problem with this. If it stays like it is, you've got like the down candle from yesterday and the up candle from today, it could form what they call bearish thrusting lines, bearish thrusting lines, or bearish separating lines. But however you cut it, it's actually a bearish signal, even though you might think it's bullish. So that's a weird one, that. But obviously, there's support from about a week ago that is key. If that support fails, and that's at 13,000. So 13,000 on the Nasdaq composite is really important support level. If that fails, we're going lower.
Okie dokie.
And the FTSE 100, let me, sorry, I know I'm doing candles. And if anyone's intrigued by candlesticks, I mean, frankly, I'm not being funny. They are something that absolutely changed the way I do things. Probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, I discovered them. Well, I'd sort of known about them, but I only really got into them about 10 years ago. And what did it? I bought a book. It's absolutely brilliant, called Candlestick Charting for Dummies, right? Don't bother with any other candlestick stuff. You just don't need it, right? Just spend 15 quid or whatever. Oh, you can spend it in my bookshop. Quick plug there. And it basically, it's just brilliant. It's just such a great book. And that's how I get all my knowledge from it. Anyway, FTSE 100, right? Again, it's an absolute cracker because what it did yesterday, it did a really classic bearish shooting star candle where it sort of like opened, went up really high, and then just fell right back down to where it opened. So that was just an absolute beauty. And I had a short on last night and I thought, oh, that's great because that's probably, you know, it's like a high probability it's going to fall today, and it did. So on a FTSE, we're basically looking at the hammer candle from about a week ago, and it's probably down at, what is that? It's probably about six, just over 6.8. If just over 6.8 fails, we're going lower.
I think I'm looking at the 13th of May. We've
Yeah.
got 6830 or something around that sort of number, Pete. That's major support now for the past week. That's major support. If you go a bit further out towards a month, you've got what have you got there? Yeah, I think that's it's about a month. You're about the same. Yeah, about the same.
I think below
Month
that.
out, 6830. But 6.8 to round have round numbers. If that
Yeah.
goes, we've lost a month of support there.
I think below that, you're looking at 6.6. Personally, I'm not convinced. I think we might go down to 6.6 intraday, but I'm still not anticipating a major sell-off here. not in the FTSE 100 because it's so commodities and stuff, you know. And if there's inflation, that helps commodities.
It does. I mean, the other thing that's going on, mate, is that there's talk from China with regards to their move regarding iron ore. So they're looking to produce more of their own iron ore, Pete. Obviously, they used to import quite a lot of it from elsewhere, mainly Australia and other places in the world. So if they start getting involved in that and hoarding that, then, you know, the other people that are supplying it won't get that much, won't help our miners and won't help other global miners. So that's quite an interesting take on it. The thing I wanted to touch on as well, Pete, that could help the markets, in spite of me saying, you know, we're going to go through volatile times, was that the other thing that President Biden did was he decided that he was going to go for this, go all in regarding this zero emissions bill and push forward. So he's going to be spending, I think, if I remember it right, $175 billion on pushing on the US minor, automotive industry producing their own EVs, electric vehicles, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah,
that could stimulate jobs and revenue for certain companies going forward. So that might be a good thing that helps markets stay a bit chipper. But as I said before, if the Dow Jones and Nasdaq, and S&P capitulate, we won't have a rosy time of it. And we saw it just this week and past couple of weeks, Pete. The US markets go down 1.5%. We follow suit. It's very rare we have a flat or up day when the US markets capitulate. It's very rare.
Oh, yeah, so true. What I think of it is the Nikkei 225 is quite an interesting chart, because that one did a 1321 EMA, so that's the exponential moving average bear cross. It did that about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And with those bear crosses, if they trigger and then they don't very quickly reverse upwards into a bull cross, like within a few days, and if they get cemented, I call it, if they get, you know, they're firm, they're going to happen, then they're really predictive of bad news, you know. And it's been the case with Nikkei. And I was thinking about it last night. It makes total sense, because if there's inflation, that really hurts the Japanese economy, because Japan has got no natural resources itself. It has to import oil and all the metals and all that stuff to do anything. And obviously they build loads of cars and things. So it's a real problem for Japan to have high inflation. And of course they've got ridiculous amounts of debt, but, you know, that's another matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one, Pete, and this goes back to the aspects of psychology, I think, with regards to groupthink, and everybody wants to have their own resources. Everybody wants to have their own coins. Everybody wants to have, you know, control and autonomy over what's going on in their own individual country. You know, it's the reason why we're going through the flux that we're going through right now. And what's going to be really, really interesting, I think, going forward, is how each and every country not only get through the COVID stuff, because we're going to all get through that, folks, but really kickstart their own countries. And you can see that from what President Biden is doing in the US. It's a case of, what are we going to do to kickstart the UK economy? Yeah, what are the Canadians going to do to kickstart theirs? Because at some point or other, when these lockdown freedoms are lifted and all the rest of it, everyone goes back to work, everyone's expectations are quite high. You know, some of these stocks that we've got are sitting where they were in January 2020, you know, before lockdown really kicked in, and are sitting at multi-year highs. And I'm thinking, well, okay, are their revenues going to bounce back that significantly for them to be as profitable as they were in January that quickly? I don't think some of them are, Pete.
I totally agree. I mean, we've been saying for a long time that PE, you know, like by historic measures, forward PE valuations, historic PE valuations, price earnings ratio, whatever, they've all been like off the scale on so many things. I mean, I remember a time when if something had a PE of 30, that was like mentally excessive. But like now, PE of 30, you look at it, you think, well, that's not that bad. I mean, that's how mad it's got. It's like there's stocks on PEs. Well, the classic was Tesla. We talked about this on a previous podcast. Tesla was on a forward PE of 300 or something. I just thought it was absolutely hysterical.
It might be hysterical, mate, but it was there. The chap, you know, that the films regarding The Big Short, is it Michael Burry?
Yeah.
He's taken out, I think, is it $530 million short on Tesla? And it's ongoing as we speak.
He's doing well at the moment, isn't he?
So he's got a massive short out on Tesla. I mean, the thing with Elon Musk is that you should never bet, as the saying goes, you should never bet against him because he always comes up with something at some point. But that's a massive, massive short, you know, in anybody's book that this guy's got out. And he knows, he does his beyond forensic, you know, analysis of companies. So he's got a massive short out on Tesla at the minute, and that's going to be very, very interesting. Last time we spoke, Pete, we talked about Dogecoin. Dogecoin. And when we spoke about it, it was sitting at around, I think it was around 55 cents, so half a dollar, per coin. And it went up to around 66, 68, 69 on the 5th of the day that the podcast went out. And then it went down to around 52 on the 7th. 52 cents. Back up again because Elon Musk was saying this and saying that and da-da-da-da. Went up to 71. I think intraday it's a high of 80-odd cents. Then we will go a couple of days forward. On the 13th of May, it was 38 cents each, right? So it's almost half from its high.
In days.
Within days. This is how volatile it is. Then it went back up to 53. Today, I think it touched 26, if I've got my charting right. And it's moving back up again. It's sitting at the moment at 37. So it's halved in the past. Since our podcast, it's gone up and come down and halved. So we spoke about volatility, we spoke about being mindful, and that's just, you know, if you're happy with that sort of volatility and you're happy to ride it out and hold it for a year, good luck, well, God bless, and you know, keep going with it. And equally the similar sort of nature with a Bitcoin, that's, you know, been very high and it's come down of late as well. So lots of people have been playing Bitcoin as a store of wealth or a place to experiment with, but that recently was up at 63,000 plus, and it's currently sitting at sub 39. I think it hit 30 this morning, Pete. You know, so that's halved in the past month or so. So volatile, 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 mate. And groupthink is, you know, if people are selling, everyone's groupthinking and thinking to sell. If everyone's buying, groupthink is to buy. So be very, very careful out there, folks, and be very, very mindful.
I tell you, I was coughing and spluttering there when you said Bitcoin and you used the word store of value in the same sentence. I was absolutely like,
well, some people think that, Pete. That's not the way I think, mate.
I know. It's just, oh, mate. Back quickly on just a couple of quick chart ones, very fast. Tesla.
No more charts, mate. Let's get into some stocks.
Well, I just want to say on Tesla, right? The really important support there is about, I would say, about 540. That must be $540, I guess, is it?
Okay.
And yeah, if that fails, it's in serious trouble. And it's a downward pointing triangle. So you've got like a sloping downtrend line and then a flat line, and it's going to break down below. The other really interesting one that I just want to talk very fast about is NASDAQ. Well, the NASDAQ composite, NASDAQ 100, it doesn't matter which one you choose, but the comp's a better example. I tweeted this out earlier today. If you look at a one-year chart, it's had a marvelous uptrend, a really defined channel. It is now testing the bottom line of that downtrend, of that uptrend channel. If that bottom line fails, then it's going to drop a lot. And it's done what's known as a double top, where it sort of goes to a peak, drops back down and wiggles around for a bit, goes back to a peak and does almost the same peak, comes down. And that is just nasty. And basically looking at 12,500. If 12,500 goes, it's going to be pretty ugly, I reckon.
Okie dokie. Pete, I want to talk about a particular stock which I've had lots of conversations about today.
Okay.
You people, and there's a couple of people who actually own this stock, and it was a darling a couple of years back, probably 2018, I think, at one of the Mellow events. Lots of people were talking about particular stock, Pete. Do you remember a stock called PCF Group?
Yeah. Private and commercial finance bank thing. Yeah. It's now called PCF Bank. Yeah. There was some news today on it or something.
Yeah, now called PCF Group. Essentially, it's taken out a temporary suspension today, Pete. But they had an extension to reporting deadline back in March, on the same day they had a trading update. Appointed a new chief financial officer. It was had an extension meant to put out new results, etc. And they've taken out a temporary suspension today, and saying they're going to get back to the markets accordingly at some point. Now, for me, and I said this only a couple of podcasts ago, is that whenever there's something like this, or there's a warning, or a little amber flag, or a red flag regarding accounting or the full year results, we need to re-look at them, I tend to walk away immediately. Yeah, if it's something to do with contract being lost or something like that, I tend to, you know, I tend to ride it out. But if it's something to do with the account, sometimes or most of the time, I'm off. You know what I mean? So they've come out and said, announcing the trading of the group shares have been temporarily suspended while the group undertakes a further review in relation to its financial controls and reporting processes. This work will be progressing, and further announcement, including regarding the timing of full year results, will be made in due course. This is a company that loans money out to other people. This is a finance company for all intents and purposes, and got a banking license.
Do you know it?
They should be able to control their financial controls and report it in due course in a timely manner.
Do you know what? It's a really interesting one, because the CEO is a guy called Scott Mabry, I think, and I've seen him present a few times, and you know, and he presents well and whatever, and I would have said up until this point there's a lot to like about PCF, so I'm actually a little bit horrified that this has happened to it. Thankfully for myself, I don't hold it, but the thing is that it used to be called Private and Commercial Finance, right? And it changed to PCF Bank. Well, the thing is, to get a banking license, you know, you've got to show loads of financial stuff and prove you're, you know, trustworthy or whatever it is to get a banking license. So I'm actually quite amazed that this has happened, and I really feel for shareholders. I know there'd be a lot of people in this, and I really feel for them, because it's just not nice.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the thing. You know, you do all this due diligence. I spend a load of time researching stocks. I don't hold this stock, but I know people that have spent a lot of time researching it, listening to all the presentations, listening to Scott Mabry and all the rest of it. And then you get something like that. And the stock's barely moved over the last 4 months, Pete, since February. If you look at a chart, it's gone hardly anywhere. The volume has really drifted down to barely hardly any shares being traded. It's done nothing. It's between the range of about 23 pence and 27 pence for the most of the past 4 months. And then you sat on it now, waiting to see what happens, you know. So, you know, I think people are just going to have to be patient to see what happens going forward. But it's one of them, and it goes back to my thing about the psychology of investing and all the rest of it. You know, when everyone's talking about a stock, be mindful. You know, be mindful when no one's no longer talking about that stock. It may not be a bargain. They may have picked up on something that you haven't picked up on. And just because it's down 30, 40, 50% from where everyone was talking about it doesn't mean that it's good value now. So just be mindful and just keep an eye out for these sort of things, because they do come out of the blue, and I've had them, I'm sure Pete's had them, and sometimes, you know, they come out of the blue, the stock that you think is going to do really, really well, something goes wrong with it, and it's stuff that you will not find out about. The only people that know about it are the people that live and work within that company, and sometimes, like Patrice Valerie, even the CEO denies even knowing about what was going on, and that went kaput.
Me and you have talked about this sort of thing a lot, and it's something that I've sort of learnt more as time's gone on and I've become more experienced, sort of thing. And that's that we've had this conversation many a time, and it's basically, there's a lot of people out there who go into the ins and outs of a cat's ass, right? They want to know everything about this fact they stop they're looking at. They go to every presentation. They, you know, they go to see the factory. They do this. They do that. They read the report 10 times. You know what I mean? And they basically overkill it. Yeah. It's got a couple of problems there, because what it actually does is that. That's my mate Nitesh ringing me. He'll be listening to the podcast. Hi, Nitesh, and don't ring me when we're recording a podcast. That's completely thrown me. So it's like people sort of the problem is of trying to learn too much. Apart from the fact you're just wasting time, what it actually does, it gives you a false sense of security. And quite often you find that people who do this kind of massive investigation, they tend to hold very few stocks, and they convince themselves that because they do all this investigation, it doesn't matter, they've only got, you know, six stocks or whatever it is. The problem is, things happen that you cannot foresee. Managements, dodgy accountants, whatever, hide things from you. And that is a simple reality. You can't get around it. And in addition to that, it gives you... It affects your psychology, because you start to love that stock and you fall in love with it. So it's almost like you're almost better off trying to be less detailed and looking at what really matters and what really drives a stock price.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's two aspects of that, Pete. There's the curse of knowledge, an aspect of psychology. Yeah, the more we know, the more we assume we're actually correct about the particular stock.
Yeah.
And then there's the groupthink element of it, but the false consensus, because everyone else thinks the same as me, therefore we're all right about this stock. You know what I mean? We need to be very, very careful of that. But I'm at fault, Pete, because I do so much research on the stock. I don't go and do visits to companies, albeit I've done that probably twice, because I was in the city and I got an invitation to go and speak to a CEO and a fund manager one time. But other than that, I don't. But people have to do what they're comfortable with. And if you're going to, for some people, putting some sizable amounts in some of these stocks, Pete, that's the reason why they've only got half a dozen or a dozen stocks. And so that's, they feel more comfortable going to the CSI, go to a site, looking in the eyes of the CEO, CFO, whoever they get a chance to see on the day, and thinking, okay, I'm happy to go ahead now and put X amount in that figure. Some people are only investing £250, Pete. You know, that's where I started.
Yeah.
And some people are doing that. So they're going, you know what? X has said that's a good idea, and B has said that's a good idea. There you go, wallop, I'm going to invest £250. And they've spent 30 seconds devising whether to buy that stock or not. Mm. If somebody's putting £250K in, they want to do as much research as possibly can. They don't want to listen to X, Y, and Z. They want to do their own research and due diligence, go and visit the site, go and check, double check, go and see some, go to an AGM, go to some presentations, and do as much due diligence as they possibly can. Because if you're going to put that kind of money in, Pete, you've got to really be sure.
If you've got that kind of money, you want access to all the directors. In a way, that's a different kettle of fish to what we're talking about, in the sense that most of our listeners will probably be just like, you know, doing sensible, you know, modest sums, whatever, that they're investing. And it's just, you know, a psychology thing to be careful of. Interestingly, Naked Trader, Robbie Burns, he never visits a company, and he says the reason he does it is because he knows it affects his judgment.
Yeah, and I think you know, clearly from what we've seen in the past regarding some of the stocks that have been absolutely cheerleaded up to the yin yang, that some people have been influenced by some of these visits and so on and so on and so forth with them, and some other people have done the same thing and come out absolutely smelling of roses and have done phenomenally well, and the stock's up 200%, 300%, 400%. And some others have been spanked. You know what I mean? It's not worked out.
The classic was Vissarion, wasn't it? VRS.
Vissarion is a classic. Yeah. You know, Cake Petit Valerie is a classic. Fever Tree is a classic. You know what I mean? Every single 6 months is a stock that everybody was in, and everyone was saying that it was the best thing since sliced bread. And then they all go quiet about it.
Yeah.
You know, we see it every week. You know, every time the market goes up and down 2%, people disappear from social media and don't talk about the stock that's gone down. And that's what works for some people. That's how they control their psychology. If that's what you do, fine and fair enough. That's what works for you. But other people are talking about, I've had this stock go down 2%, 5%, 6% today. You know what? And they're talking about the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Some people don't do that. That's just what some people have to do to cope with the markets being volatile. But I think the importance of it, Pete, is the fact that we have to allow everyone to do what they want to do individually. But I think also the most important element of it is to be mindful, well, you keep using that word today, right, that some people have got 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year experience. And to me, once you get to 5 years of the markets, depends whether you've had a really savage, you know, bear market and it's taught you some lessons or not. Most people have not had a bear market, significant bear market. The market that we had last March was a sharp and back. They didn't have to endure seeing the red across their portfolio for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, 2 years before the markets recovered and teach them all the lessons that they needed to learn. Yeah. So when you've been in the market 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you've gone through one, two, three bear markets where you've gone, oh my gosh, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. You know, we spoke about it, Pete. Some people are thinking the market's easy, but yet they're panicking when the market moves 2%. It doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of that around at the moment. It has been a very, very easy, really, since that sell-off in, you know, back in March 2020, it's actually been a very easy market. And I think there's a lot of Larry Summers, I mean, I don't know, but I guess that this was one of the things that triggered the sell-off in the US last night, was that Larry Summers, who's some sort of banking bod or something, he used to work with Bill Clinton or something, didn't he, in his administration. Larry Summers said that, you know, the level of complacency in the market is extremely high and it's really dangerous.
And I would agree with that.
Fed policy, he said. It was Fed policy that pumped this up, basically. And I think he's right, you know.
We should never be complacent because the market would just, you know, take our heads off and put it on a platter.
Ghoulies, mate. That's what it does. Or if you're a lady, what does it do to a lady? It gives you a punch in the
move on. Something. Move on, Pete.
It's not nice.
Right. I want to take this opportunity, Pete, very, very quickly. We've been banging on about our Twin Pete's challenge.
Oh, yeah.
And we have had some more individuals supporting the Twin Pete's challenge. We're sitting at, excluding myself and Pete and some people that have donated twice. One person's donated three times. We're sitting at 73 supporters, and that's with me and Pete including, and including some people that have donated twice and three times. But I want to give a big shout out, really, and I gave him a shout out last time, and I'm doing it again. And this is for Elric, is at Lemming Investor, because he's been getting his subscribers to donate even more money. I think Elric and his subscribers, who the vast majority of them do not listen to this podcast,
but
because of Elric, at the moment I think his total from his subscribers is about £600 as we speak right now. Which I think is absolutely phenomenal. We've had a chap called Neil Hepburn, who's donated £100 plus gift aid. All the best in your efforts, says Neil. At David Glass 1, heard you mention this charity a few times now, but speed of action isn't my strong point. I'm more slow burn. Please accept a small gesture towards the gift, the fund. Nigel Donaty, who I know who listens via SoundCloud, everyone seems to be migrating to Spotify. Nigel's usually on SoundCloud, if not on I think also sometimes on our YouTube channel. Love your podcast and have learnt a great deal. Many thanks for your openness, and we'll make more donations before the end of the year. I think there's one person I wanted to find because he's and you know him, I think it's Laird Elmsky, Pete.
Oh yeah, yeah, Steve.
Yeah, Laird Elmsky. Laird Elmsky on Twitter. Happy to chip in, and I don't even listen. Good work.
Fantastic.
Steve donated £50 in gift aid.
Good guy. And
lovely guy that we both know, Pete. Battlebus. He's donated for a second time. So I think he's donated over £100 at the moment as well. So there we are, folks. We're now sitting. Oh, I can't forget, actually, about a week ago as well, 8 days ago, there's a chap who just put his name as Rich, donated £185 plus £46 gift aid. So, folks, our initial target to raise money for these disabled children at Memphis was £2,500. So our total at the moment is £2,963, excluding gift aid. So I'm really, really chuffed with that. I'm really, really pleased. We've still got 2,430-odd folks that listen to our podcast. And if you could all just consider donating a pound, I would like our target, next target, to be 5K. And if we can get to 5K, we push on from there. Yeah. So if you can donate a pound, a euro, a dollar towards that amount, that'd be absolutely phenomenal to get us towards 5K. But I really want to thank everybody that's done a donation so far. And I'm really, really so proud of the listeners that we've got that have contributed so far. So please consider making a donation. If you've got the money, please donate. If you haven't got the money, I fully understand. And if you've got and you're supporting other charities already that you're donating lots of money to, I fully understand. So don't, you know, you don't have to donate. But if you can and you've got a spare couple of pounds, please, please, please support us to get this target and help as many young children and their carers as possible.
Hey, where can they find the charity?
They can find the Just Giving page as the main page. justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPete'sChallenge.
Excellent.
Mate, you can also find it on Pete's webpage and my webpage, which is Conkers 3 for the article. Number 43 will give the total again as to what the total is and a link to the Memphis charity. And you can find it on Pete's website, as I said before.
Super. Mate, a quick one. I know we're getting loads of new listeners and hello to everybody. And it's great to have you on board. A lot of you will be listening on SoundCloud for the first time. Or whatever. Mate, what are the other platforms that they can find it on? They have to go to the Conkers Corner channel, don't they?
I keep forgetting to say this, guys, ladies, gents. We're on Amazon, guys, ladies, gents.
Right? Oh,
so if you've got an Alexa gadget, all you have to say to your Alexa gadget is, Alexa, play Conkers Corner. And you will get the Twin Peaks podcast. Yeah?
Brilliant.
We're on YouTube. You find us on the YouTube page there for Conkers Corner. We're on Apple, Conkers Corner again, Audio Boom, Spotify, SoundCloud, and others.
Yeah. All right, that's good.
Yeah, so we're on quite a few different platforms as we speak. And the beauty of it being there is that we're getting a broader and bigger reach for people. I think most people are moving towards iTunes and also Spotify. So you can find us under the Conkers Corner name there. But the beauty of it is that lots of people are finding different ways to find us. And there's some platforms I didn't even know have got us we're getting there. So we're sitting there. We're bubbling between 2,500 and 2,000. But our next target is 3,000 listens per podcast. And what we're finding is that our subscribers are getting it earlier and listening immediately. So we're getting a surge over the weekend. We're averaging about 1,200 listens from Friday morning through to Sunday night, Pete, around Sunday night, Monday morning.
Yeah, we're getting
1,200 listens over that span, and then the other half are doing it throughout the week. And we're having people just tweeting out now and giving us responses and feedback regarding podcast 48, which has gone down extremely well because Pete was covering the spread betting conversation and covered it really well there. Thank you all very much for your support.
Mate, while you mentioned the spread betting thing, I just want to do a big thank you to Mary. I've got to get her surname right.
Please.
Mary McDougall. I keep saying McDonald. Mary McDougall, who is a writer for the Investors Chronicle. And last week she did a really good article about spread betting and leverage, you know, using CFDs, whatever. Great article, and it's well worth reading if you've got Investors Chronicle. If not, give me a shout and I can probably somehow wangle you a view of it. Thanks Mary, brilliant. And she actually quoted me in it, and she actually put a link to the podcast, so thank you so much, really appreciate it.
You might need to continue that shout out for her. And I hope, Mary, if you're standing, please sit down at this point and just chill, right? Because we're going to give you another shout out, because I found a tweet today from Headline Money, and they announced their shortlist for the HMA Awards 21 Rising Star of the Year Consumer, as in, you know, going writing for us private investors. And Mary's been shortlisted for the Rising Star of the Year.
Wow.
So that's a big clap for Mary. And some others that have been out, but have been chosen. I think I'm just counting the names. I think there's six individuals chosen. So Mary's got a 1 in 6 shot of being, you know, being crowned Rising Star of the Year. So Pete and I are cheering for you, and I'm sure every other Investors Chronicle listener, reader is cheering for you as well. So we wish you all the very best with that, Mary. And also, you've got your colleague as well, Oliver Telling, in there as well. So wish you both the very best of luck.
That's fantastic. We're going to talk about stocks in a minute. So
let's get some stocks going, Pete.
Well, mate, I just wanted to mention, because time's moving on, so I just wanted to mention a couple of people. I've got to say hello to Paul, right? This is a classic. Paul, who you'll find is at, on Twitter, he's at, I don't know how to pronounce it, Wumps or something, WHYMPS. Paul, as a classic, sent me a lovely email saying how much he enjoys the podcast. He listens from Sydney, and that's like Sydney in Australia. I just think that's brilliant. Love it. It's good, isn't it, mate? It's good.
It's good. It's good. I mean, this is it, Pete. I mean, we're in 93 countries. I'm waiting for the 94th one to hit the list. So if you are, you know, listening to us in the UK and the US, we love you all. We love all our listeners wherever you are. But if you can send us a text, send us a tweet, and tell us you're in somewhere obscure, I think you're probably guaranteed to get a shout out.
Oh, because definitely.
We love to hear from people far and wide. We've had South Korea, we've had Ukraine. You know what I mean? So, you know, Australia, happy days, mate. Let's hear from somebody in New Zealand. You know, I still haven't had one person send me a DM or a message say, you know what, Pete? As a fellow Jamaican, I'm listening in Jamaica. So if you're listening in Jamaica, give me a shout and I'll give you a shout out.
Jamaica.
Absolutely, mate. From the Caribbean, anywhere in the Caribbean will do me.
So true. Mate, another quick one I want to just say hello to is at Chumba. Yeah? Chumba, yeah. On Twitter. He sent some brilliant tweets out saying he's been listening through the whole archive, which I'm not being funny. He must have, like, ears and like, the constitution of a mountain goat. To be able to
ears made of leather.
Some of those early podcasts are bloody dire, so I'm
No, the quality was good, Pete. The audio quality wasn't as good. Let's be fair.
Terrible. The audio was shocking. And when I went on about politics on that one, I mean, I needed shooting. Anyway, but yeah, we need to have a function where you can, like, give me electric shocks if I go off target or something. Anyway, mate, something else I need to mention very quickly. A little lateral thinking exercise that I heard on Steve Wright. And that was, I sent it out on Twitter and I said I'd give the answer on this podcast. And basically what it is, a man is pushing a car, pushing his car, yeah? Then he sees a hotel, then he realises he's bankrupt. Explain what's happening.
I really don't have a Scooby-Doo, Pete. I don't know the answer to that one.
No thoughts on it at all?
No thoughts whatsoever.
Is it on an island or something? What's going on there? No, anyway, I'll put you out of your misery. They're playing Monopoly.
Oh, my gosh.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I loved it.
Yeah, I must admit, that's actually quite good. That's actually quite good.
That is so cool. I've got some other ones, and I know a brilliant one from years back. We won't do it today. I might do it on a future podcast. Anyway.
Okay, we're 56 minutes in, mate, so let's get some stocks.
Some people, yeah, we'll get some stocks cracking, dude. I want to talk about, well, I'm going to rattle through them, right? A couple of IPOs that are coming up. You've got Kitwave, KITW. It's IPOing on the 24th of May. It's due to have 4.5% dividend yield. And they do, like, deliveries to convenience stores, food stores. They do, like, food and, I don't know, all sorts of junk to you know, stuff that people sell in convenience stores. You know the sort of thing, yeah?
Yeah.
I think that looks interesting. That's Kitwave, KITW. Do you know that one, Pete?
I don't. I've not heard of that one, mate.
Okay, another one. I thought. Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. There's one called Cord, CORD, which is Cordiant. I think it's Cordiant Communications or something like that.
I've heard of that one. Yeah.
It's very similar to Digital 9, which is DIG9, and what that does, it does, like, It's sort of like an investment trust, and they buy assets, they invest in assets that are, like, the sort of infrastructure of the interwebs. Yeah. So it's like towers, you know, like mobile phone towers. It's like fiber optic cable stuff. Apparently, I was talking to my mate Phil Sloan. He's on Twitter. I was talking to Phil Sloan yesterday, and he said that Digi9, whatever it's called, Digi9 bought the undersea cables and stuff. So there's all sorts of things these companies invest in. But it sounds really interesting, one that. I do like the sound of that. I think it said 3% dividend they were aiming at. Whereas apparently, Digi9 pays a higher dividend, but the shares have done really well. So maybe if people are quick on Cord, they could do well on that. Another quick one. I'm not in any of those IPOs, obviously, and I'm not thinking of, not planning on doing anything with them yet. Another one I'm invested in, Air Partner, AIR. I think that's an interesting one because it's been having a massive transformation in recent years. It's got a new CEO called Mark Briffer. In the old days, Air Partner was very much about private jets, yeah, and sort of maybe UK sort of based and maybe a bit of Europe. And I think it did a bit of like chartering of like bigger aeroplanes for like, say there's football matches going on, stuff. You can arrange a charter. They don't have any aeroplanes themselves, and they do all the arrangements of it. But there's been a lot of changes happening there. Like they've done some good diversification because what they felt, and they're absolutely right, is that their business was too cyclical. You know, it did brilliant when the economy was good. When the economy was terrible, it was terrible. So what happened was they've been diversifying more. There's one that's funny. They bought, well, it's not funny for the birds. They bought one that's like a bird scaring company because obviously you don't want birds around airports, do you?
Yes.
So they'd like, I don't know what they do, like fire guns or something and just, you know, scare the damn things off, you know, because you don't want them getting in your engines. And they've invested in, I think it's called Baines Simmons, and it's like health and safety consultancy and like security consultancy. They've done loads of stuff like that, and they've done a really good job of diversifying. And the other thing is they've gone more to a US focus. And if you look at the last trading update or results, wherever it was, the US proportion has increased of their business. And it's got, you know, they do stuff in Europe and whatever. I just think it's interesting. Oh, it's got a chunk of cash, yeah. Can't remember what the figure is off my head. You'll have to look that up. But the thing to be careful of is they've also got what is known as jet card cash. And what that is where customers can buy a thing called a jet card in advance so that when they want to use a private jet, they just like turn up, show their jet card, and they just get on the plane and off you go sort of thing. So it's and it's really popular jet card, but you need to be careful because you can't allow for that when you do calculations of the valuation of the company. But if you look at the valuation of the company, it just looks really cheap. It's on like a forward PE of 12 or something, and I think that's falling. And I think the dividend yield is about 3.6%, something like that. You look on SharePad, you see it. So, I think that's a good one. You know, it's obviously as the world opens up and there's more travel and stuff, you know, they should be quite well placed.
Okay. I mean, I want to touch on one of our larger blue chips, Pete, from yesterday. And I think it took the markets a bit by surprise. Telecom giant Vodafone. Reported a profit for the year through to March of 536 million euros, but missed analyst expectations, and the shares ended up down. I think it was plus 6% at 133.
Down 9% yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just took the markets a bit. I think that just gave the markets a bit of a wobble. Yes, didn't help matters at all. And obviously today, markets have drifted lower again, and it's down a further 2% again. It's down at 126 at the moment, and I think as telecoms go, that's one of our preferred sort of yield plays, or had been a yield play for most people. Quite rock solid, paying sort of 5-6%, and also, you know, up until recently, the shares have been trying to reclaim some of its former sort of stature. So back in what's it, May of last year, it was sitting at 141, and we just about, I think, climbed over that. Where are we? At the beginning of this month, to 141, and now it's back at 126 after that. What is, for all intents and purposes, was a bit of a profit warning, Pete, to be fair.
Well,
So.
yeah, I'm not sure it was. I mean, I don't think it missed expectations by that much. And personally, I hold Vodafone myself, and I'm very happy to stick with it. And I'm picking up 6% dividends, so I'm not that bothered.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically saying it missed analyst expectations. You know, for a big behemoth multi-billion pound company to drop 6%, which essentially now rolling into almost 10% in the space of 2 days. It's one of them things. It's unchanged its divvy as well. You know what I mean? So
No.
it's still there paying, throwing off, like you say, 5.5%, 6%.
Yeah, 6% is,
Yeah.
yeah.
On that note, Pete, one of the stocks I was trying to de declare and share with people last time was another blue chip, because as I keep saying to you that I'm trying to move up the food chain, but I've also got my little speculative stocks. So I'm going to quickly talk about these two. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I think everyone knows the stocks that I'm going to talk about, well, this particular stock. And the opposite of Vodafone, almost the opposite of Vodafone, is BT Group. So this is a stock that I purchased last August at 97 pence. And it's currently sitting, or was sitting, nearer to 170. And the reason why I bought it at the time was because people didn't want, didn't weren't interested in it. And I'd done my analysis about this ages and ages ago.
Yeah, I remember you.
They're sitting there with a lot of debt, sitting there with Openreach, and if they spin off or float or whatever they do with Openreach going forward, my assessment of the value of BT in its entirety, some of the parts, SOTP, is £2. And that's when it went below a pound, I decided to pick it up at 97. So that's why I bought BT, and we'll see what happens with that going forward. But that's going to go into my portfolio. It's in my portfolio, should I say, and stay in my portfolio. I'm going to ride it out, and if and when the shares go up and down, I'm going to keep hold of it in the hope that at some point in the next 18 months they spin off or do something with Openreach, and that's where the release of value and the catalyst, I keep talking about catalyst of late, I hope will be released regarding BT. Reduce debt, spin off and do something with Openreach. Hopefully, we'll get £2 in valuation or more. There's another stock which no one will know about. It's changed its name, Pete, twice
Oh, they're all
since I
different.
held this stock. This is how long I've held it, and it's been suspended for a long, 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 long time. So please accept my apologies on that. So it was called Ultimate Sports Group, and then it was called Cantania, and then
Oh.
now it's called InSig. Right, so InSig AI, and just IPO'd and basically restarted on AIM. Ticker symbol is INSG, sitting at 72 pence at the moment. And I purchased it when it was called Ultimate Sports at 23 and a half pence, but it was suspended for ages. And I actually thought, you know what, this may never come back because these companies just take so long. But at its first day of admission on the 10th of May. Essentially, it's a leading AI machine learning company serving asset management companies. So I'm hoping that they'll do well going forward. Listed at 89 pence on the 7th of May, and now it's sitting at 72 because of all. It's obviously a tech related stock, so that's a sell off there. So those are the two that I wanted to share with you guys. I hold both, by the way. So that's me declaring and showing transparency, and I'll put the contract notes out on Twitter. On that note, Pete, there has been some people asking me about contract notes. Why do I put them out there? Why do I not? Why don't other people do it? Now, I do it for personal reasons, right? I'm not asking anyone else to put out the contract notes out there, right? I'm trying to do it for to show honesty and transparency about what I do. I've been asked in the past, and I've been on Twitter now since August 2012, and ordinarily I'd buy something at 9:05, and at 9:10 I bought this stock out at this price. And I've been doing that for years. And some people liked it, some people didn't. And I thought, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll move to another model, and I'll not put out when I bought a stock. And then people were saying, oh, he's only putting out the stocks that that has gone up. You know, he's talking about it 3 months, 6 months, a year later, because and he's revealing it now to us because it's up 100% and 200%. Then I thought, all right, okay, I'll answer that critic as well, or those critics. So I time stamp, date stamp. I bought this stock. Don't put the ticker symbol on it. Bought this stock at this date, and I'll come back to it when I'm ready. Then I retweet that tweet, and I put the contract notes attached to it with a date and everything else, so it's completely transparent. And now what's happening with certain people are saying, oh, we don't like this because you're not releasing it in a timely manner. Yeah. And other people are saying the reason why these people are complaining about you not releasing this news in a timely manner and saying, I bought this stock today and this is the price I bought it at, is because some people want to copy. Now, what I've said to people is that you shouldn't copy anybody, certainly not me, into any stock. Yeah. I will not ramp any stock. I'll buy it and I'll talk about the news as it comes and it goes. If it goes up 5%, 10%, down 20%, which has happened to some of my stock, I will talk about it. I won't go into hiding. Yeah? So if you don't like the manner of which I'm releasing the data, don't follow me on Twitter. Don't follow me anywhere. Don't look at any of my shares. Don't look at any of my stuff. Please do your own research. Yeah?
So true. You've got to research yourselves. Mate, we need to close it off in a minute. I just want to say, we're listeners probably know we're sponsored by SharePad. Appreciate it hugely that SharePad have backed us so much. And really appreciate the extra reach they've given us, etc. Just want to say that if people want to subscribe to, you know, want to use SharePad and subscribe to it themselves, we've got an offer running through our website where basically you get 1 month, 1 month free basically when you sign up. Yeah. And all the details of it are on the web page when you go on there. And basically to get it, go to SharePad's main website, which I guess I can't remember, but I think it's www.sharepad.co.uk. And if you go into the products bit, and then it's got a bit where you can, like, you know, select the one you want, whatever, you'll find there's like a promo code box. And if you type in there Twin Pete's, just the word Twin Pete's in lowercase, that will get you the discount. You can also get it by clicking adverts anywhere on my website. I think Pete's got them on his website.
Cool. Pete, before we go, I'm going to have to give a mention to Future Shares, Future Media, ticker symbol FUTR.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been on such a tear. And despite the markets having a wobble today, I think when I was looking earlier on, it closed up 10% today.
Wow.
On a horrible market. And basically, it raised full year guidance for the second time this year. After posting exceptionally strong first half results with sales up 89%, Pete. You know, bearing in mind they bought your company. Was it GoCo that they bought, Pete?
Yeah, GoCo. And I didn't want Future Shares because I really wasn't sure, but it looks like I got that completely wrong.
Yeah, so sales up 89% to a record 272.6 million, and adjusted profits up. This is profits, Pete, up 142%.
Just amazing. Brilliant. Yeah.
And this is a stock that I had at sub 90p back in 2014, and I rode all the way up to 15 quid. What mistake did I make with this one, Pete? And this is talking about being honest now.
Sold too early.
No. I made the profits. I did what I did. I trimmed and took 1692% profit at 15
pounds.
Oh, mate,
20, you did well then.
20 pence. Yeah. In 2020, after I'd sold out, right? We had the crash. The shares went down to less than £5, Pete. And I was looking at it and thinking, I've got other options, and I'm not sure that it's going to do so well. People aren't going to buy magazines, right? People aren't going to be sitting there just reading magazines online all day. They've been doing digital forever, but a lot of their money comes in the advertising.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm not going to buy it at sub £5 or £6 or £7. And I watched it go higher and higher and higher. Today, I think it might have touched £27, Pete, from a sub £5 share.
Incredible.
And it smashed records. So there you go. You know, we don't always get it right. And the people that are on Twitter that get it every single thing right,
we're not
getting it right with the truth. Let's just be polite.
So true. I think we need to close it off there, mate.
We do. As always, folks, I want to thank you all. You ladies and gents, wherever you are in the world, for subscribing to this platform. Don't forget to ask Alexa for Conker's Corner. You'll get it on your Alexa Play gadgety. I just want to say thank you ever so much for the continued feedback and your support. As always, always touch on the fact that we can all do more in our communities. You know what I mean? I'm out most days doing stuff. You won't see me sharing pictures about it on Twitter. But I'm doing stuff. I'm doing stuff regarding my community and helping other people. I spoke to somebody the other day via DM, and this person and the next person will probably be the 500th person I've helped via DMs. And some of them have done this for over 2 or 3 or 4 years to support them and help them with all the different nuances of being a newbie and also an experienced investor. None of us knows it all. So if we can help each other, it's just brilliant. And we have a brilliant community out on social media, and we need to keep it that way and all be supportive of each other. You know what I mean? And show kindness. And if you can do some of that kindness in your communities and help other people, there's lots of people out there suffering with anxiety, with stress, homelessness, you know what I mean, are suffering from hunger. And if you can help them out, just do what you can. You know what I mean? And together we're all better for helping each other, and just show some love and some kindness. So until next week, 2 weeks time, folks.
Yeah.
It will be podcast number 50. We hope to have a surprise for you on podcast 50. Until then, take care, stay safe, get out as best you can, and enjoy the good weather and the lockdown freedoms that we may or may not be getting going forward. And I just really, really look forward to seeing you guys, ladies and gents, in the flesh at some point. Pete and I have got some ideas of what we might juice things up with. But I just want to just thank you all for continued support of the Twin Peaks podcast. Take care. God bless.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing podcast was brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.